You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need another big third down conversion. Meyer looking to throw. Fires deep down the left side for Blythe, and he has the catch. Tiptoeing the sidelines. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Todd Blythe, his fourth of the day. Unbelievable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Meyer to Blythe podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brett Meyer, joined as always by my guy, Todd Blythe. Todd, how we doing?
I'm doing good, man. We're 1-0. I'm feeling good. It's hate week. Excuse me, Iowa week. Not supposed to say hate week.
What do we call it? The team out east? Was that Rhodes that did that or something?
I don't know. Like, it wasn't Mac.
No, Mac didn't care. I mean, he cared, but not like that much, bro. It was like we couldn't say the name. But
no.
Yeah, coming off a, we'll call it a win. I think I tweeted out, hey, get the dub. That's all that matters. We have...
That's all we did.
We've most definitely been a part.
No more, no less.
Been a part of some of those games where it's you win. Oh, I think we beat Toledo in like three overtimes. And did you have like the number one play on SportsCenter that night with
Listen, Brett, I don't want to make this about me, but yes, it was number one play on SportsCenter. I think you can still look it up on YouTube if you'd like.
Oh my gosh, that one in the bank there. But we've had a few games where. You should win by, 14, 17, 21. You should be able to put them away and you kind of dink around. We've lost a couple of those games. You lost to UNI. We've lost to a couple MAC teams in our storied careers. Gosh, it's embarrassing.
But. I was really hoping this week that, or this year that we were going to put to bed the whole start slow, eke out a win or maybe even lose to a team that was a lot less talented than us. I thought maybe we were done with those days. I thought maybe our team and Coach Campbell had kind of learned from past mistakes. Oh my God. It was, I'm telling you, unbelievable atmosphere to start the game. My wife and I went up to it. The lots were packed. Everybody, I think, was pretty well lubed up before the game. And about midway through the second quarter and then after halftime, still a big crowd, but a lot quieter crowd. They need to either score a couple more touchdowns or serve beer at Jack Trice.
You know what I think it is? First off, like, get the dub. You want to feel like, obviously, our friends over in Eastern Iowa probably, as they should, feel better about their week one performance than we do. But at the end of the day, we're both 1-0. And I just think that, Coach Campbell and his staff are really comfortable in tight, close games, one score games. And you could, you could feel it. I'm sure that our staff knew it. They weren't going to move the ball up and down the field, 85, 75, whatever it is yards after a touchback, or if we pin them deep, they weren't going to move the ball and sustain a drive. It was going to have to be kind of like a fluke play, missed tackles like they had where they scored, you know, on their one possession, I think in the second quarter. So we're going to play the field position game, knowing that we have that to our advantage with an elite defense and their offense and a quarterback who's, you know, a nice player, you know, from Lincoln, but very inconsistent as a passer and had absolutely nothing in the run game going. You and I did. So I think it's one of those things where we kind of lined up and, you know, as you said, I think you talked to a couple people with you and I kind of figuring out what we were doing offensively. And it was, you know, 12 personnel, two tight ends, max protect, inside outside zone. And then some, when you're doing that, you're not going to have three, four guys out in routes and it's going to be harder to get open and complete passes. So, you know, I think we were very basic and very fundamental once we kind of got to a point where we felt like we were in control of the game. And I think Coach Campbell knows how to win those games, you know, better than anyone right now.
Yeah. But I'm sick of winning that way you know, that's great. They love it. The staff is fine with it. I'm sure the players were fine with it, with how they, you know, they got the W, and that is the most important thing. So let me preface all of this by saying we got the win and that is the most important thing. Now, that being said, like, it was just a boring ass game to watch. At no point did I think we were going to lose. At no point did the game feel like it was really up in there, even though it was closely. I mean, it was a 6-point win, for God's sakes. But at no point did it feel like it was slipping away or anything. I mean, their offense just couldn't do anything outside of one busted play. We smothered them on D. But man, was it boring to watch? I mean, I don't know what else to say. Then, I mean, it was just the most vanilla game plan that we could have had. We didn't try and throw the ball downfield really at all. Our run game seemed like it was basic, just inside zone, outside zone. It wasn't a whole lot of, not a lot of shifts, not a lot of motions. We weren't going to throw a whole bunch of different looks on the field for them. And and that's what we got. We got a boring 16-10 game, but again, we're 1-0. So we're all super, super happy. If you can't tell by my enthusiasm right now.
We're 1-0. You become spoiled very quickly by having a good football team. You forgot
supposed
where
to be
we
number
came
seven
from.
Team in the nation.
It's preseason rankings. No, you forgot where we came from, Todd. We came.
We came from 3-9 seasons is what we came.
Yeah.
From,
but. So, but no. All in all, I mean, you want to feel good about your first game of the year, and a good way to do that is just to win. So yeah. I'm not concerned. I know Iowa. You know, we'll get into, I guess we could probably just, you know, it's Cy-Hawk week. So put that one to bed. We beat you and I.
Well, hold on. Before we
you
do that,
no,
I want to break
talk.
It down.
I want to cover one thing.
Okay.
We talked about this. And so when you have a talent advantage, what brings teams closer together is, you know, a shoddy playing surface. So do you want to discuss?
Oh my gosh. You want to jump right into the field turf versus natural grass.
Listen.
Brett wants to fire the entire staff that maintains. And
I do not. You know, field turf has to be maintained. They'd all still have jobs. They can.
It's an entire major at Iowa State to take care of our grass playing surface. And Brett wants
pretty
to
sure we got
all
a lot of grass
of history.
We got a bunch of grass practice.
They can mow the hills.
Mow the hills. And this isn't a personal attack at anyone. There have been times where our field's been in great shape, and weather permitting and, you know, whatever extenuating circumstances, there have been times where our field was not in great shape. And you and I were on the same text chain. I'll leave, you know, the others on the chain unnamed, but it is a, you know, a connected cyclone source that said middle of last week on Wednesday, what was happening in Jack Trice Stadium.
They thought it was in pristine condition.
Yeah. Okay.
All the sources I'm hearing is that it was in pristine condition.
Okay. There was some concern about the plant, about the field conditions. That's not something that you want going into game one.
That is not why we only scored 16 points.
This has nothing to do.
What's the over under on the turf issue costing us points?
Listen,
what, 3.5, 2.5?
I'm not saying that it's costing us points. It had nothing to do with how we played. All I'm saying is you either have, it should be a rule that you either have Bermuda grass, which we played on in the South. It's a fast surface. It's a great surface to play on the grass.
It's a putting green. Yeah.
It's basically a putting green. That's why they use it on golf courses. Or you have Bermuda grass, which is tough to chip in, by the way, to eat your club up.
Yeah, it's a little grabby.
Yeah. So you either have Bermuda grass or you have field turf, especially if you're up north.
I've always been a grass guy anytime, and not just like, it's not a bit with me and you, like anytime somebody would ask me, I would say that I liked natural grass, maybe a little biased because of, tearing my ACL on field turf, but I've always been a grass guy. Now, that being said, I hate to admit this because I mean, you're not right very often, but it's probably getting close to being time to have field turf.
Well, that's it for the pod today, guys. I've done my job here. It's like, no, I this is not a personal attack at everyone involved with, you know, our, you know, Jack Trice Stadium, you know, playing surface to grass. And I'm sure they put a ton of work into it. And I promise you that, you know, anytime something like that happens to where it's not up to snuff, I'm sure they're probably just like we were, or our, you know, athletes are when they don't perform. You know, they're probably sitting back thinking what they could have done differently or done better, and they're sick to their stomach.
Nobody's a harder critic on themselves than the Cyclone turf grass team.
But all I'm saying is, you know, you start seeing folks like Notre Dame and even Iowa, like these old school tradition, you know, rich programs that are starting to get field turf. And I just think it makes a lot of sense. And I'm not ignorant or dismissive to the cost. I think it's, you know, it's upwards of $1 million, but you know, what would the net cost be? Obviously, if you subtract what it costs to take care of the grass field right now. So I don't know.
$1 million anymore to an athletic department is, I mean, look at the building we're building outside the stadium right now.
I promise you that
they won't sneeze in $1 million. Well, be a better playing surface.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a dip in revenue last year, and there's potential for that in the future as well. So I'm sure that, you know, I don't want to be ignorant to, you know, to Mr. Pollard and checks, you know, the checkbook up there at Iowa State. But I would like to see.
I don't care about the check. I would like to see all that. It's not my money. I don't care about all that.
Oh, you don't donate? You don't respond to the letters we get?
What letters?
I would like to see a more consistent playing surface in Jack Trice.
All right.
There's a better option out there, but we'll put this to bed. Field turf, I think even you just admitted it's better. So I just think in our area of the country, if it's week one and the field isn't in great condition, it's what are we going to do week 10? You know,
okay. I'm giving you this one. I'm willing to concede on the field turf issue. Can we get back to, I do want to talk about the UNI game just a little bit.
Okay. What do you got?
What were your thoughts on our quarterback, on Brock Purdy? What'd you see out of him? Numbers wise, he appears on paper. He was very accurate. 21 of 26 for 199, no tugs, no picks, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he completed 80% of his passes, but you know, averages are about 7.5 yards. Mm-hmm. A lot of check downs, and I'm sure there were some plays out there that he could have hit, but again, you know, it's, you go with the flow of the game, and I don't know if this is a fact. I don't have any inside information, but you know, Coach Campbell's in your ear, field position, defense, and Brock's played enough to where he can kind of know when and, you know, when not to take a shot and maybe try to fit something in a window. And we just, you know, we don't turn the ball over. We win the game. And I believe we didn't have any turnovers, and they had two or three, I think.
Yeah. Two picks.
You know, they had the two picks and I know one late, but it was just, I thought he played fine. I think
he played fine. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a great way to say he played fine.
Yep. Yeah. I think when we get against Iowa, we're going to need Brock to play kind of like a superstar, you know, all American, all Big 12 level for us to beat them. Cause their defense is probably, we saw Oklahoma play, we've seen, you know, maybe Texas will have, but that's, Iowa's probably going to be the best defense that we'll see all year.
Yeah. And they were good last week too. What'd you think, speaking of superstars, what'd you think of Breece Hall? 23 carries, 69 yards, one TD. And couple that with the O-line, I guess we'll lump all that in together.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of positive momentum for the offensive line coming into the year, but we have a lot of guys that have played, but I don't know that they've all played kind of together at their current positions. So, you know, what that means, I've never been in an O-line room, but I'm sure it means something for cohesiveness and just, hey, you know, it's, you know, guard and tackle working together, center guard combo, and it's just getting to know kind of who's next to you. And, you know, you and I, they're not, obviously not, you know, They're not a Big 12 defense. They're certainly not Iowa's defense, but you know, they're a good defense. They are clearly at the, if you've been in that room and you've seen, you know, they're probably with their scheme and, you know, they got Bryce Pop coaching the D line. He's played in the NFL for a long time. They
Jeremiah Johnson, their DC, is as good as you will find in college football. In my opinion, again, I'm biased because I'm, you know the guy and worked with him, but I mean, he's really, really good at what he does. And that's, there's a reason that they are a top defense in, you know, their division, D1 AA or FCS, however you want to call it, every single year. So, yeah.
Yeah. And let's not beat around the bush. We should run the ball for more than, you know, whatever we had. I think Breece had an average of about 3 yards a carry on 23 carries, which, you know, whether he, you know, had a couple runs or he didn't, you know, read it right or whatever. I just think there's, you know, absolutely he needs to be, you know, have him be upwards, you know, 23 carries. You'd like to see him close to 100 yards. And we're going to
rumor has it he was banged up a little bit coming in too. So,
yeah, I don't know. Part of me doesn't understand that. I feel like somebody that with Breece's caliber and should maybe just have like the quarterback's jersey on during practice and like doesn't get tackled.
My thought is if he's truly banged in coming in, I think 23 carries is a lot of work when, you know, I think we'd all love to see what Jarrell Brock can do back there too.
Who knows?
You're going to get coach speak into the media and you never know, you know, half of it's true, but you never know which half. So.
Yeah. I mean, we come back to the fact that we're 1-0, obviously a heck of a lot better than your whole season's in peril if you lose that game.
Still have some question marks though. I was curious to see what we do in the pass game. Obviously our best pass catcher, Charlie Cole, our All-American, did not play, dressed, but didn't play at all. And then we just didn't do a lot in the pass game. So we didn't get to really see who that next option was going to be at receiver. Xavier Hutchinson had a nice game, 7 catches, 88 yards. Tariq Milton, really 3 catches for 37, but 34 of those yards came on one chunk. Outside of that, everybody else was kind of 1 catch, 2 catch. Jalen Knoll, you know, the freshman that there's been some buzz about, 3 catches, 9 yards. I saw Sean Shaw wasn't dressed. He was in street clothes. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but hopefully we get him back. Cause I still think I said it all last year. I was kind of waiting for him to break out. I still think he's a guy at 6'5", 6'6", that can make an impact. He's shown flashes, just need consistency there. So there's still some question marks out there on offense, but what an opportunity, what a week to clean those up.
Yeah, we're going to have to, I think, you know, Iowa goes without saying they're going to have our full,
what's going on there?
Well,
got a little background audio coming through.
So, you know, when you open Pornhub, up the window,
Pornhub window, just the audio, just we got caught a little bit there, buddy.
Yeah.
You got to close those windows before we start the pod.
No, when you open up like a different ESPN page, I was going to look at how many possessions we had.
You know what? Now that you say that, I'm going to go ahead and mute my speaker.
Okay. So I was looking up how many possessions we had. Because I didn't feel like we had a lot. But no, anyway.
That was something I heard mentioned. I don't remember the number, that it was a very, for whatever reason, it was a very low percentage or a very low possession game for us. Not time of possession, but just number of possessions. Hey, we did kick, it's kind of a random thought that popped in my head, but that's how my brain works. We did have a couple of kickoffs through the end zone. Got a nice ovation from the crowd, so that was nice.
But I think that's another thing is, you know, if you're a coach like, you know, or not just Coach Campbell, but anybody who, because field position is one of those things that probably isn't talked about as much as like turnovers or, you know, what other major stats that, you know, can really sway a game. But having somebody that can kick the ball out of the end zone is a huge deal for field position. Because late last year, I mean, we get into some games late in the season, who knows? Like, you know, there may be a time where do we kick a field goal or do we go for it? And you make that decision knowing that, hey, I got somebody that can kick it out of the end zone here, you know, without any problem. Outside of the first kick, I think he was probably a little jacked up and nervous, but the kick was
set. Yeah, that one was kind of a little heely cut there. But I think you're exactly right. The you know, with the style of you know, offense, defense, and just football in general that Coach Campbell and our staff wants to play, being able to pin guys deep and have good kickoffs and not allow a return. I mean, that's, I think that's huge for the style that they want to play. So that, I think that's definitely an added luxury this year that we didn't really have all the time last year, or maybe at all last year. You want to talk about, you want to kind of switch gears and start talking about the Iowa game a little bit coming up?
Yeah, I think it's time to transition, right? It's kind of what everybody's here for. So Cy-Hawk week, college game day, top 10 matchup. I think AP, we're now ninth, Iowa. They were probably a little bit underrated to start the year, but they're now kind of probably where they should be.
10th, right?
They're 10th, yeah. So
that'll be cool. Top 10. And,
you know, we said this a couple years ago, but I mean, this is probably the biggest and most anticipated game that we've had in the series, with, you know, both teams kind of being primed and ready for special years. So Iowa coming off a big win at home, 34-6 against Indiana. And I think they had, you know, like we said earlier, they feel better about their win than we do. Their fans certainly do. And, but if you kind of peel back, you know, some of the layers, you see that, okay, they had two pick sixes, which are plays they made. I think the kid from Ankeny was, I just.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a kid from Ankeny. Yeah. They were Riley Moss. Yeah. I mean, they were gifts though. The first one was a ball that, you know, off the receiver's hands right into him. The second one, he just undercut an outbreaking route on the sideline. And yeah, really the third pick that they didn't return, the quarterback scrambling, the receiver turns downfield to start blocking. And the quarterback throws it at him, and, you know, to a guy who's blocking, doesn't see the ball being thrown, it's a gift. So they got three gifts, and two of them got returned for six.
Yeah, and so. He's a good quarterback, the Penix kid, but he's coming off an ACL last year.
Okay, so he's working off some of that rust.
That's not an easy place and an easy defense to go up against after being a long layoff. But, you know, offensively, Iowa in the past game, you know, Spencer Petras, or I'm not saying his name right, but he's 13 for 27. Anytime you're sub 50%, that's pretty bad. And 145 yards.
He did run for a score, I saw.
Yeah, but he only averaged 5 yards per completion. So everything this kind of sets up for, in my opinion, with both offenses in week one is, and then they had like the one long run.
Yeah, so Tyler Goodson, their running back, 19 carries, 99 yards, and a touchdown on the first possession, 56-yard touchdown. And really watching it back, it was just an outside zone. They kind of collapsed that whole side, and the corner took an absolute terrible decision and just dove inside, got pinned inside, and he just went untouched down the sideline.
Yeah,
just, I mean, so it was, you know, it's like you do it, you know, in Madden when you're playing against the easiest level. I mean,
teaching tape of what not to do on his end.
Exactly. Just a bad decision. They collapsed the side. The corner made a bad decision. It was off to the races. So, granted, he had the speed to finish the play, but
yeah, you don't want to take it away from because they made the plays.
No, I kind of do. I kind of do.
But even like, you know, the game we beat Iowa in, was it 05, where we won 23-3 and our offense was just kind of so-so all day. Mm-hmm. Like, we are excited, we won the game, but come Monday, it's like, all right, here's what really happened. Our fans can celebrate, but we need to get better. I'm sure that's probably kind of where Iowa's at right now. Again, 13-27.
That's a great point. Yep.
145 yards. You're averaging 5 yards per completion, 0 touchdowns. Didn't turn the ball over, and this is going to be his first game kind of in a true road environment. Obviously, last year that, you know, there were no fans in the stands for any Big Ten games, so it's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be crazy. There's going to be a ton of people. The field's going to seem like it's, you know, everything's closing in on you because, you know, it's just going to be a lot of people around. And
he's going to be running around in mud because our field's so bad, field's right?
It's terrible. Yeah. So, but hopefully, I mean, my hope is that we can kind of, you know, we'll probably defer and then get out there quick three and out and then not let them get in any rhythm. And that kind of set the tone for the day. You know,
that's one thing we didn't really talk about from our game with you and I is, you said three and out. Our defense was really, really good. Outside of one busted play for a long touchdown, our defense was really good all game.
Yeah, they were a little sloppy tackling, you know, early in the game, but that they shored that up. And, you know, Mike Rose was Mike Rose, and, you know, Will McDonald had 2 sacks, I think, and guys on the back end were competing and playing well. And
Isham Young had a pick, and he also had a hit coming downhill on the running back. He's an absolute missile back there. I hope he can stick around for every quarter of every game this year. I'm a little worried about that, but he is a missile back there.
Yeah, he's a physical player and a downhill player. And
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight.
Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game's going to come down. It's going to be probably another boring game. Sorry to.
In this game, I don't. Who cares? In this against you and I, I wanted to hang, 50 on him and win by 30 or 40. That'd have felt great. And this one, I don't care if we eke out a 3-0 win. It'll be boring to watch, but this is truly a game where I don't care what we do in the stat book. I don't care what it says on the scoreboard other than, we have a higher number than they do at the end of the day.
We've lost five straight. We got to figure that out.
Exactly. And I'm sure this is something, and he won't say it, but I'm sure this is something that Coach Campbell thinks about a little bit when he goes home at night.
Yeah. That's a really good program and a coach who's been there forever and been one of the better coaches in the sport for a long period of time. And, that's a measuring stick for him, I'm sure. And, we want to win the game. And this is a year where, it's not out of the realm. We can beat Oklahoma twice. We can beat Texas. We can run the table. And if we lose to Iowa, we got bigger fish to fry. And I'm sure they do too. I mean, looking at Wisconsin, and they seem to have taken a step back, and their schedule is extremely manageable, as it always is. Mm-hmm. They don't see Ohio State. They don't have Michigan.
I love a little low-key Big Ten shot there.
Well, whatever. But then they have – I mean, it's going to come down to probably Ohio State. And, could you get everything dialed up for one game to beat Ohio? Who knows? So there's a lot to play for both teams. Both teams have, week two, we're right there at number 10. We have playoff aspirations. So this is a huge game, and I think it's going to come down to probably the kicking game, field position. It's boring, but whoever can, whether it's, three field goals, two field goals, whatever it is. And then, who can,
we'd all take a shaggy game right now.
100%. We'll take a 15-13 win or whatever that was in 07. So
15-12, I think, cause it's all kicks.
Yeah. I mean, I like our chances. I just think we have a more dynamic quarterback that can do a little bit more, as long as he'll just kind of let loose and do it. I think this game is not, I don't want to say an all or nothing game, but just, you don't have to play conservative. You can't really just rely on, hey, it's you and I, or hey, it's, we're better. It's Kansas. We're better than this. No, this is I. We need to go out and we need to execute. And we need to have some big plays. Hopefully, getting Charlie and Sean Shaw back will help.
Yeah. I mean, this will be probably the second best team we face, right? At least on paper to start the season, we'll see how things play out. But other than Oklahoma, this is going to be the next best team that we face. It's weird. I find myself almost, in my own brain arguing a little bit, like on one hand, okay, Brock, just let loose and be a playmaker. Like that's what you do. You're best when you're ad-libbing out there and you're making plays with your feet and running around throwing the ball. And at the same time, I'm also saying, okay, Brock, just don't do anything stupid. Just, take care of the ball. We got playmakers, get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And so honestly, I'm probably like most fans out there. I'm not sure what I want out of him other than I just want him to get us a win on Saturday. So, Brock, good luck to you, buddy. I don't have any advice other than go get Sedovia. Yeah,
there shouldn't be a ton of pressure on him. We got a good enough team to where he does. He's got to play great, but we got our offensive line has to play great. Brees Hall. I mean, Iowa's a good team and a great program. We're going to have to bring it. So are you going?
No, right now the plan is we're just going to watch the house with just some friends coming over, some other couples coming over. I did tell my wife though. I said, hey, if tickets show up, if I get a call and somebody's got a line on some tickets, I might not be at the block party on Saturday. I might just end up missing and being up at the game. So I don't know. We'll see. But the plan is just to watch it on TV.
I guess my invite will probably come later in the week. That's fine. Don't even worry about it.
It's invites in the mail. I'm sure you'll get it. Well, I don't know what standard ground delivery is these days, but I'll sure it'll show up in time.
In my recliner in the living room.
Well, yeah, you'll be watching the Gophers.
I don't even know. Who cares about the Gophers, man?
I did. I kind of jumped on board when they almost got. Do we want to go there? Do we want to kind of just talk about college football as a whole?
No, I don't want to.
I have some notes on the Ohio State Minnesota game. No. I got into that game a little bit.
You know what I hated about that game is seeing the running back go down in slow motion. Like I knew right away.
That's in my notes. Is the Achilles injury the worst injury to watch in slow mo? The answer is yes. You don't have the answer is yes. To see that heel dip and the calf pop and shake like that, that's someone who's torn their Achilles.
I always have a special place in my heart for
you. Forget your Achilles. I'm ACL twice over here, actually. But
when did you do it twice?
Yeah, I don't have an ACL in my right knee currently. Did that in spring ball before our senior year. Didn't know it.
So how do you tear an ACL you don't have?
Well, I have it. I don't have it now. I had it then, and I tore it in spring ball before our senior year.
Took it out and didn't put a new one in?
The other knee. I tore my left ACL after our freshman year, got it fixed, tore my right ACL in spring ball before our senior year. Never got it fixed because we thought it was a sprained MCL. How do you not know this?
I don't know. All I know is you were making out with girls on campus and got mono.
Okay, first off, I got mono, but it was absolutely, I think I used somebody else's spoon in the dining center probably.
Okay. You'd be COVID right now.
Okay, let's switch gears here. I don't like where this is going. Let's just talk about anything stick out to you in week one of college football.
Yeah, I love seeing, I've always kind of been a Chip Kelly fan, so I was glad to see UCLA. Especially against LSU and
did Ed you see Orgeron. The clip of Coach Orgeron with your sissy blue shirt on? Yeah, and then they get thumped by him.
Yeah, he'll be. And this isn't a slight to them as coaches, but I think he's going to be. He'll be living that very plush buyout life very soon if it doesn't get turned around.
Yeah, they expect more than a 6-win team at LSU.
Well, yeah, I mean all the resources and the recruiting and. I think you saw that, and they kind of had, you know, obviously they had the receivers and Joe Burrow and the coordinators and
kind of a perfect storm to win a national title.
And they did. They were the best team probably that we've seen in the last, you know, since those USC teams early in the 2000s. But maybe that 06 Iowa State team was probably okay.
Oh, God. I can't believe you don't want to talk about the Ohio State Minnesota game. I think I've done a full 180 on PJ Fleck. I think I'm all in on PJ now.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He's different. I actually, he's as good as Minnesota can get in terms of finding something that people will pay attention to. Because Minnesota is all, it's a Vikings town. It's a hockey town. And that's what kind of drives the conversation. And having him here and winning 11 games 2 years ago, having the big win against Penn State and, you know, everything they did that year was, you know, has people talking about them. But even like, just driving around, you don't see as many, you know, I see as many Iowa State and Iowa, as much Iowa State and Iowa stuff on people's cars.
Love it.
And
love to hear that. That
fun stuff. You see as much as you do with Minnesota. It's just not something that people aren't repping as hard as maybe we do back home. But yeah, I mean, it was good to see. I think I did get a chance. I went to Ohio State's hotel because Todd Fitch is there. He's an offensive analyst for Ohio State. He was my quarterback's coach in college and
he was awesome.
Yeah,
Coach Fitch was a good dude.
Yeah, we kind of linked up, and Tony Alford's there. Paul Rhodes is actually there too. He's a defensive analyst. So they've got a lot of very good tenured coaches. And
what do you think of Ohio State's quarterback?
I think he's good. I mean, he's kind of one of those. So I was talking to Coach Fitch, and he's like, we have 4 or 5 stars in our quarterback room. They're all like freshmen. Or sophomores. The kid from Texas came in and he said that the kids are all good. Sometimes, you know, he basically was like, you know, there's a chance that, and this is with everybody, you know, I'm sure you'll keep 2 and 2 will probably transfer and go play somewhere else.
Because yeah, why, in today's climate,
which I don't have any problem with. If you're a 5-star and you're that good, you know, you're going to go start somewhere else. I mean, if you, all these guys, you look at, you know, from Baker Mayfield, who wasn't a 5-star, but he transferred and number one pick. You look at, you know, Jalen Hurts transferred and top pick. You look at Kyler Murray transferred and number one pick. So
you're basically just talking about Oklahoma right now.
Well, you know,
there's guys no, I get it. I get it.
Gone on to kind of have
Zeb Noland.
How about that?
That's awesome. I love that.
Guys out in South Carolina playing now. He's a DA.
The one note I have from the talking about the Ohio State quarterback is accuracy under-recruited? Is accuracy something, in your opinion, and you know you're a quarterback and played it at a high level, is accuracy something you can teach? Can you get better at it? Or are you kind of born with it and it's something that needs to be recruited, like size and speed and strength and all that?
Yeah, I think either. It's one of those things you can kind of either have it or you don't.
I just look at the Bears and Mitch Trubisky, and he sucked. And they traded up to get him at number two, and he checked every box except accuracy.
Well, you can be pretty accurate in shorts and t-shirts, and it's pretty easy. It's just about whether you can make those quick decisions and be accurate during the game. Like, I was down in Dallas earlier this summer and worked a football camp, and there's a lot of really good quarterbacks there. Like, these guys are all being recruited, and they are just so good and so adept at all these drills, and their feet are great. But, like, you try to get them to hit, like, a – you know, the accuracy is all over the place. And I'm like, man,
a moving target, like a receiver.
Yeah, he is. Like, you guys got to get with, like, you guys need to bring your receivers everywhere and just throw routes. Stop, you know, these drills that you see on Instagram is just not the thing. Because there's so many private
social media quarterback coaches.
And all they're doing is drill work because, you know, they don't have a full field or they don't have a bunch of receivers. And that stuff's great to do, but
it's like cone drills for a receiver. Yeah, I see him everywhere on social media. I'm like, balls, bro, go just go catch a million balls.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think it's something that, you know, you look at somebody like, we'll just call like a Chase Daniel, who physically is, you know, about as,
you know, kind of a fat toad.
Yeah. But he's been in the league for, you know, he's going to be in the league for 20 years and make $50 million because, you know, in college, you remember that time where we were playing Missouri
and start three games and throw 42 passes in his career and make $50 million
in college. And we were playing down there and Brad Smith got knocked out of the game. And then Chase Daniel,
and we all thought, it's a wrap. We're going to win this thing
for a true, just lit us up. Dude is accurate.
Yeah.
So I think somebody like that, like, you know, you can have all these guys be 6'5" and 220 and look like creative.
Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers.
And you know, accuracy is extremely important. And there's a lot of really, really good quarterback coaches and coordinators in college that won't recruit it unless you can, you know, pitch and catch. But I thought he's a good player. He's like, he's definitely one of like the blue chip elite guys. Your first start to be in that environment, you know, he could have easily played, you know, at home in the Horseshoe against, you know, one of the directional Michigan schools or whoever from the MAC.
And I shouldn't jump on an 18-year-old kid in his first start in college football on national TV, but no, I mean, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
That's what you're here to do. I mean, think he could have went, you know, 20 for 25 for 5 touchdowns and they would have been raving about him. And then his second game, he goes and plays, say they're playing Oregon, and it's like, you know, did he regress? It's like, no, he's an 18-year-old freshman. And you saw, like, it doesn't matter. Ohio State, like, they just, if they get it right, it's going to be a touchdown because they have those two receivers.
Yeah.
And he can get it downfield to him. You saw that in the game where, you know, they forced Minnesota into certain coverages they wanted. And DBs can't stay within 5 yards of those two guys. They're both first round picks, like high first round picks.
Are they super, like the Olave kid? Is he that fast? Or I can't tell if he's fast or just the smoothest route runner out there.
He's both. I think he's just everything. He's super smooth.
Gosh, that's like cheating. You should have to pick one. I feel like.
Yeah. He didn't pick any, but
back when we played, it was either you're either fast or you're tall. I chose tall, and so obviously didn't get the fast gene at all.
Game day's coming to town.
We went last time. I hope Eric Church is the guest picker again. I know he's a big hit with Iowa State fans. Obviously, I'm joking. Everyone seems to be pissed again 2 years later on Twitter about that. I see a lot of people like, oh, I swear to God, if we have another country singer, which, why do you hate country music? How could you hate country music?
Well, did he have any Iowa ties?
Or they just none. And I think that was the problem. Also, he picked Iowa, so that pissed people off. I threw this out on Twitter. I thought Coach Mac would be he'd be electric on college game day. He's got ties to both schools. He would talk a million miles an hour. The energy would be high.
Yeah,
it'd be real, real windy out there with him talking. So just real, real, real fired up for that game.
Yeah. They got to get like something that's going to bring that. That's probably what brings some other.
Did you see, it was floating around on Twitter today. So we're recording on Tuesday night. It was floating around. Trey Young said that he might be in the game. He's like working on it right now. Might be in the game to see my high school teammate. Obviously, talking about Charlie Kohler, because they mentioned that he was teammates with him on every, you know, about three or four times a broadcast. So I don't know if that means he's just going to the game or if that means he might be coming in to be the guest picker, which you got to assume he'd pick Iowa State. So I don't hate that.
Yeah, he's a big enough name. I think ESPN would sign off. Let's do it.
Exactly. But I mean, we'd all love to see Niang, but outside of Iowa State circles, I don't know if he's a huge name. Obviously, he's a rock star around here, but.
Who's that? George Niang? Never. Okay.
Yeah.
George is the man. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So College Game Day is coming. Great for Iowa State. Really good that we're kind of in a spot where it's like game day is coming and it's not the number one story, you know? So it's good to see how our program has kind of progressed, and just from the game day atmosphere. And we're going to average, I mean, I think our stadium's over 60,000. I bet we'd probably average that, which
yeah,
that's got to be in the top, you know, 20 to 30.
Oh yeah, it's I would say for sure top 20, I would think. And how cool is it that, like you said, the story of the day isn't that College Game Day is coming, is that this game has playoff implications. Yeah, if you win this game, you got a pretty good route and or clear path to the playoffs. If you lose, you're probably out, and that's cool for Iowa State. You know, Iowa has had success in their program. Iowa State not as much. So it's cool that we're now at that level. And that, you know, I think we've all kind of wished, or at least you and I have talked, that how cool it would be for this game to be played later in the year when there's things on the line, when teams have, you know, they've both kind of found themselves a little bit. And we always play at the second game of the year when not as much is out there. But for this year, that's not the case. There's a ton on the table for this. And with college, football playoffs being on the table for both teams with two top 10 teams, I mean, this Saturday is going to be, it'll be absolutely crazy and wild up there. And like I said, I don't care what it looks like. I just hope we come out with a W.
100%. I'm excited. I feel good about it. I'm not, I think we've been around it enough to not get too caught up in the results. I can remember 2005. We kind of stumbled around with Illinois State. Iowa won big in their opener and they were ranked number 8 and, you know, we kind of whooped them. So week one is kind of a good opportunity to figure out where you're at. And then from there, you just kind of watch the film, turn the page, and you're on to week two. So one thing I wanted to kind of finish up on here, and not spend a ton of time on it, but you know, there was realignment news. I know that sounds like we're going to have some new members.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I looked up some things today. I did a little,
what
professional podcaster over here. So we talked, there's been a lot of talk of realignment news. So that, you know, looks like the Big 12 has extended offers or invitations to four teams: Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, and Central Florida. Those four teams went 3-1 this week. So BYU beat Arizona, which is a Pac-12 school, part of the whatever Pac-12 ACC Big Ten alliance. Cincinnati, obviously a really good program, number 7 team in the nation right now. They beat Miami of Ohio, and UCF beat Boise State. The only loss was Houston, lost to a Big 12 school in Texas Tech. So I think those four schools, Houston, BYU, Cincy, and UCF, I mean, great additions. And obviously, you know, geographic stuff doesn't matter anymore in college football when you're talking conferences. So I think those are four really strong teams. I think the Big 12, you know, has to make some sort of move, you know, whatever it is, whether it's adding teams or joining, you know, an alliance or something like that. But I thought those were four good additions that it looks like are going to join the Big 12. And they showed out and they look good on week one. So that's good to see.
I don't know how our fans are going to feel about BYU simply because now I haven't been to, I think it's in Provo maybe, but I have been to, Salt Lake, and my brother and sister-in-law got married in Salt Lake, and I don't know that they have a bunch of Bush Light at the ready in Utah.
I think it's like outlawed down there. Well, they've
loosened up because I think just, you know, for businesses, and you know, a bar is a business, and you know, trying to attract more people, and because obviously the Mormon church is huge out there, but like you can't go to a bar and like have them make a drink in front of you. They go behind the bar and make your drink. And this is like, you know,
that might be one road game that I just never try and go on.
I'm might actually be kind of cool to be out there and just see a new campus, because, you know, Lord knows we've been to Manhattan, Kansas, and
that's true. You know. That's an excellent point.
Hey, you want to go to Lubbock or?
Lubbock might be the worst place in America.
But hey, we can go to Disney and then go watch UCF.
But just so I didn't waste my work this afternoon, after I got done with all my hard work for my real job, was looking at, so the alliance has gotten a lot of talk, this Pac-12, ACC, Big Ten alliance, which, what a disaster of a press conference. Did you see that? The presidents come out, or ADs or whoever it was, came out and asked, well, was anything signed? Well, if something needs to be signed on paper, then, you know, what is our world coming to? You know, our word is our bond type of deal. But those three conferences, the Pac-12 was 7-6, Big Ten was 10-6, and the ACC was 7-7, all while the lowly Big 12, who's being left out of all the conversations, was 9-1 this week. We don't need to get into who they played. It doesn't matter.
We won. Clemson lost. We're better than Clemson. Don't worry about who
played. That's what I'm saying. We don't need to. Who cares who played cupcakes and who didn't? We're not here to talk about that. We're strictly here to talk about the fact that Big 12 was 9-1, ACC was 7-7, Big 10, 10-6, Pac-12, 7-6. Obviously, just bad football conferences until we have to join one of them. So
I would have to agree. But, and let's talk about, do you watch Notre Dame and UCF, or excuse me, Notre Dame and Florida State on?
I did. I wanted Florida State to pull that out. I really did. I don't know why I don't like Notre Dame. I mean, it's not a,
because Brian Kelly seems like
it's not a religious thing. I have nothing against Catholicism.
Where are we going here?
I just really wanted them to lose. I don't know why. Notre Dame just kind of bothers me. The whole fact that they won't join a conference yet, like everybody knows, like, hey, you're in the ACC, but they just refuse to join a conference. I just wanted them to lose.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know. Brian Kelly's, I think, just kind of seemed unlikable to some. He had his sweet comment after the game, kind of a joke.
I forgot about that.
I mean, I don't think anybody. If you're upset about that, you probably kind of.
Hey, Twitter was on fire about that. But that's because there's millions of people who wake up every day and say, "What can I get pissed off about on Twitter?"
I know. Yeah, if they saw your hair.
It looks good right now. It's too bad people. Too bad there's a podcast, not a video. No, I thought the comment that, we love execution, and after that game, maybe our entire team should be executed. Like, if you're going to get mad about that and can't see that he was obviously joking, and two, like, it was a bad joke, but it's kind of funny. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah, he kind of handled it the same way. He was like, seriously, guys, stop it. So, but what I want to talk about,
if he'd come out with a real apology, then that would have been bad.
Yeah, we're not. I think we over-apologize at times. I don't think we're there. So let's talk about Mackenzie Milton. And coming back from what he came back from. And I got to be honest, man, I'm kind of torn on it. Obviously, I love the fact that he was able to come back from that injury. But I just sometimes I don't know if, like, should you really be playing football again?
How nervous were you every time? Handed the ball off and carried out a fake, I was like nervous.
Well, even like Alex Smith looked compromised on the field when he came back. And
yeah,
I think there was a tight end with his drop foot. Yeah. There was a tight end that played for the Bears a few years ago. They had like same thing. They were like, you tear your knee up so bad. Like, you know, there's arteries that are damaged. Like your femoral artery, which, you know, literally supplies blood to your lower leg, is like compromised. Yeah. And like his surgeon, I just kind of read a couple articles, and it was like, I think I talked about this, but it was like, this is a quote from his doc. Like, goal number one is to safely do the operation so that you can keep your leg.
Yikes.
Goal number two is give you a limb that you can walk with and that's stable and doesn't have pain. It's like, okay. Sometimes
what goal was football? I want to know what number goal was football.
I just don't.
Was it even on the list?
I know that we love these inspirational stories, and like social media gives us all the positives that come out. And it was great to see him, and I'm sure it was, you know, awesome for his family. But at the same time, it's like, what happens if you ding that knee?
Did you see his mom?
No, she was nervous. I guarantee his mom
looked like it was an absolute nightmare was playing out in front of her with her son running around on the football team.
I just think sometimes the answer might be no, man. Like, you can have a life and career in football. It just might not be playing. And we got to make sure we're putting the best interest of these, especially college. Like Alex Smith, you got all the money in the world. You can make your own decisions. You're a pro. But for college guys, sometimes I know that sometimes, whether it's the guys who've had too many concussions, like, you know, the training staff, and they'll just be like, hey, man, you're done. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when somebody has, like, we're talking about arteries, like they had to basically take a, and, you know, take an artery from another part of his leg.
From his other leg, right?
From his other leg and reconstruct it. It's just like, you know, what happens if you hurt that again? Like, you probably, you know, those vascular surgeons are doing what's called like limb salvage. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, that's
just the just the name of that procedure limb sounds like he shouldn't salvage. Be playing.
So I don't know. I just think, man, I just hope he's careful and Florida State's smart about it. And because they offensively, their operation is all over the place. I mean, he's going to be running for his life. It's not going to be clean. It's not going to be, you know, and I get that kid that was playing before him wasn't, you know, he's not efficient. He's a great athlete, but he looks more like a receiver who can just throw a little bit. But yeah, I think a good story for him. And obviously he's, you know, he's an OG for getting back on the field, but just don't know if he should be, man.
Very cool story. Yeah, exactly. I felt the same way. The one he did have one where he actually tucked it and ran a little bit, and that made, you know, that made me a little uneasy, but very cool story. I think, you know, you'd like to think that the, you know, the default, hey, he wouldn't be out there if he wasn't clear to be out there. A little hypocritical by you to be saying this stuff, the way you came back from your turf toe injury, at Iowa State. So, I mean, very similar injuries, almost amputating his leg and then your turf toe. So a little hypocritical on your part.
I'm a right-handed quarterback and it was my right toe and it happened in like the second quarter against Army in 2005, which is like our third game of the year. So I went the whole season.
I don't remember any of that game. None of that game. I don't remember. Did even play it out there.
I love that I got that clip shared of you.
if anyone doesn't know, in every group text or group chat that I'm in that involves Brett, at some point, like in the last couple of weeks, he's thrown out a clip of me dropping a ball against Army. But anyway, this is bad radio. It's a very cool story. And it's cool to see him bounce back like that after, basically 2 years of surgeries and rehab. But it doesn't make me feel real good to see him run around.
I don't want him to play anymore, but it's not up to me clearly, but man, we just got to be careful, I think.
Yep. What else? Anything else? That's about all I got, man.
I don't got anything for you. I'm excited for this week. I'm excited for this opportunity for Iowa State. Again, we're going to have, you know, however long game day is to showcase our university and showcase Iowa State, and great for recruiting. And you know, I was 1-5 straight. It's time to kind of get that figured out. And I'm confident that, you know, I think Akeesh is going to be Brock, and I think he's going to, I don't want to put too much pressure on him. You know, obviously I don't think he cares what we say, but
he's a listener.
We just need him to play. We need him to play great. We need our defense to do what they do. And, you know, Brees to get over 100 yards, which I'm sure doesn't happen very often against this Iowa defense. And, you know, maybe get a big special teams play or a turnover. Cause again, I think it's going to be one of those games, and both teams do this. Kirk Ferentz has been in a number of those games where it's like, all right, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to wait for you to make a mistake. And we do that quite a bit too. So I think it's going to be one of those games where you look at a couple of years ago, we fumbled the punt and that ended the game. Or, you know, you look at the game we had last week, it was, you're not going to score on us. We know you're not going to score on us. We're going to play field position and, you know, we're going to kick field goals. And that's what we did. So I think it's going to be that type of game.
I agree. So let's wrap with this. What's your prediction score wise?
I'm not giving my score on here because I gave a different score and you lit me up on Twitter.
Yeah. So yes,
we do picks for Cyclone Fanatic. So let's save it for the Cyclone Fanatic. Picks that come out later in the week.
Okay, fine. That's fair enough. Yeah, because within 24 hours, your pick changed by like three scores either way.
Why would you not give yourself more than one chance to be right?
I mean, well, come on. Were you right on either of them?
I think I got both of them right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So just stay tuned for the picks later this week for the staff picks for Cyclone Fanatic. But yeah, man, that's all I got. I'm excited for this game. It's what an opportunity for Iowa State to showcase itself as a university, as a football program, on the biggest stage, with College Game Day coming to town. So a great top 10 matchup. You know, I don't know the last time we've been a part of a game that involves two top 10 teams, if ever. It happens to be our biggest rival from the eastern side of the state. So I'm pumped. I can't wait to watch it. Probably going to be sitting on my couch, drinking a few beers, doing it, but it's going to be fantastic Saturday. So hopefully we can come out with a W. That's all I got.
Absolutely. Go Cyclones.
Go State.